this is Lorraine Salazar, and you're listening to Everyday Heroes. Today, our guest is Dori Lancaster. She is certified in nutrition education and food psychology. She's also a massage therapist and certified yoga instructor. Her latest endeavor is Yo Massage, combining yoga and massage. Hi, Dori. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Lorraine.
So I want to start off talking about veganism.
Great.
You've been vegan for a long time.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Wow. Okay, then let's go right into it. What is a vegan?
A vegan is someone who does not consume anything that comes from an animal, and it can also extend out into their choices around clothing, you know, beauty products, all that stuff. You gotta just look at the ingredients and see if things are tested on animals, etc. So
what do you eat?
Yeah. Well, just lettuce, of course.
I mean, that's all vegans eat.
I mean, didn't you know?
I think that's a big thing. People wonder, like, how do they still stay nutritionally supplemented?
Yeah. Yeah.
If they choose to become vegan.
Plants are powerful, dude. Okay. Like, you can eat plants and thrive. The misconception about having to eat animals to get proper nutrition is just so false.
For instance, where do you get your protein? That's the biggest source, right? Like, protein. People tend to get, yes. And they get, I think, scared when they hear the protein is going to be taken away. So yeah. Where else do you source it from?
Well, first off, the protein thing. So
I think, tell us about it. Yes.
I think that in this country, we're a little bit protein obsessed. It's like, you know, foods don't have, you know, it's not simple. It's just like, it has to tell you, like, this contains 80 million grams of protein, where it's like, all foods have protein. Plants have protein in them too, obviously. So you can, you know, consume a diet of just plant foods and get protein. So, you know, a lot of the protein rich plant foods would be things like beans and legumes, nuts and seeds.
What are legumes exactly?
So like a garbanzo bean or, you know.
Okay. So hummus.
Hummus, perhaps. For sure. Yeah. And then all the different varieties of beans, lentils, things like that, nut butters. And then, of course, soy products if you're consuming soy, like tofu, tempeh.
And soy is from a plant, a bean.
Yes. Yeah, soybeans. So that's where we get most of ours from.
And if people have a hard time eating the bean, right? I think we sometimes, the assumption is, oh, I have to eat a can of garbanzo beans to get my protein. What are some fun ways? What can you do with our garbanzo bean other than just eat it out of a can?
Or, that's what I do.
Yeah. How do you get that down?
You can make them yourself. Like, you can go get them in bulk and,
do you like to do?
I mean, I like them raw.
Because,
like,
I know you cook a bit.
I do cook a bit. But yeah, I mean, hummus is great with garbanzos. Salads, of course, you can put all that in there. But I'm trying to think what else you could do with the garbanzo bean. Well, there's all this culinary new stuff coming out with the aquafaba, which is the water in the garbanzo bean can.
Oh.
So there's like aquafaba cookbooks and all this
stuff.
I
had no idea. Yeah, are these like soups?
No, you can make it because it has like an egg, like a viscous kind of quality. So like you can make like macaroons and like different types
crazy.
Of sweets with them, or like whipped cream and like that kind of fluffy stuff. Yeah. Like I got my mom an aquafaba cookbook for Hanukkah, cause she's obsessed with it. So yeah, there's tons of stuff you can do. But
is she vegan?
She's not, but she's very vegan friendly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. She's very open to it. So yeah, so
I love this cutting edge food talk that you know about.
It's fun. I haven't done a ton of experimenting myself, but I've made macarons I've made them
very resourceful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love it.
Right?
Yes, using everything.
Bean water.
With your bean water. Yeah. Kind of like our ancestors used to do, you know, they would use the whole, you know, bison or the whole plant. They would use everything.
Right.
And we're
vegans are just the new cavemen.
The new cavemen.
Without the meat.
Stomping around the world. Right. I love this. What inspired you to go vegan?
Oh, gosh. It's been like a whole like trajectory of events where, you know, I stopped eating red meat and pork when I was around 16 because I had a friend in school who was like a cool, like ethical vegan, which I didn't really know what that was at the time.
Right.
But she was like really into saving animals. And I'm not even sure if she was vegan or vegetarian, but either way, she had an impact on my life. And her name was Karen. So if you're listening, Karen, thank you.
You changed me. You made a difference.
There's Karen, right?
There's always somebody who makes a difference. Totally. Right, in our own life.
Totally. And then, so, and at the time I was at 16, I kind of realized, I was like, well, I don't know that much about this. Mm-hmm. All I know is that, I don't enjoy eating those foods. They don't make me feel good. So until I learn more about it, I'm going to stick with that. So I was still eating like chicken. I wasn't really eating much fish because we didn't grow up eating it. My parents were not very like adventurous eaters.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have like sushi or anything like that growing up.
Sure.
So I didn't try fish until like my late 20s, which is kind of embarrassing, but also not because I'm vegan. So who cares?
Right.
But
that's funny.
But yeah, so I was like, I kind of veered off into vegetarianism, and then I was working in my like late 20s. I was working in a chiropractic office with these two vegan girls, my friend Renee and my friend Erin. And Erin was like super passionate about it, and we would have lunch together mostly every day, and I would see what she would eat, and I'm like, oh wow, like, you can kind of eat a lot as a vegan. And I didn't know.
All these other foods out there that we weren't
totally
maybe exposed to because we're in our zone, zoning other things out.
Yeah. And just like a life without cheese, like, what does that look like kind of thing? So,
right. What's on your plate?
Right. And I still didn't go vegan then, but I was like more exposed to what a lifestyle would look like. And then I went into nutrition school, was still vegetarian, was eating, but really cleaned up everything, was like, farm raised this and organic this and sprouting this and kombucha and all this stuff. And then
made sure the product was treated well before it got to your mouth.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, yeah, a few years, you know, later I went full vegan after I realized like dairy didn't really agree with me. Although I like really wanted to just deny that instinct because
did you notice a difference?
I did. In
physically, internally, externally with when
everything.
You stopped eating those things?
Yeah, everything. I had just gotten back from, I was living in Sicily for like 3 months.
Wow.
So I was eating like fish and cheese then.
Like
and
the Mediterranean kind of?
Yeah, okay. Kind of. But yeah, a bit shittier.
Yeah. yeah, you're traveling and yeah, of course.
It was great. I was working.
They're known for food.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I like, you know, being in Italy without gelato, like what kind of life is that?
Right.
And then I came back and was just like, no. And I just went, I made the full transition because I realized, I mean, even just the quality of food in European countries is different. And not that I'm promoting eating those things in different countries, but the production is a bit different.
Sure.
So if you were, I would say their food is a little bit more,
there's more care and, that goes into.
Yeah. But I chose the meal to not. So yeah, that was my sort of like trajectory into becoming full vegan.
Is it much more expensive? Because I think that's the other thing people who want to make the transition. It's like to eat vegan, oh, that must break your bank because everything's so much more expensive and you have to know how to like pair foods. And I mean, is it an organic? And then when you're going into that, it seems like, is that just a misnomer?
I would say that the opposite is true, just because you're not buying like expensive meats and expensive cheeses and expensive
and things with certain ingredients.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I mean, it can add up if you're getting specialty products like some vegan cheeses and stuff. But if you're buying like, quote, good cheese, like dairy cheese or whatever, you're going to spend like $7 to $12 to $15, whatever it is.
Right.
So like you can spend $11 on a really nice hunk of like vegan cheese and that would be like a specialty item. But just on the day to day, no, I would say that it's probably less expensive to eat plant-based because you can basically survive on rice and beans if you wanted to. And those things are like dirt cheap.
Yes.
And then as far as like plant foods, like vegetables and fruits, you know, I think most of, especially where we are in LA, like most places have caught on to the organic movement. So organic mm-hmm. isn't that expensive or as, you know, much more expensive than conventional. Like mm-hmm. sometimes it's even less expensive. So
sure.
You can go to like a conventional market, like a Vons or a Ralph's or whatever, and they have a really decent organic section, and it's usually not much more. So, you know, and then there's like the Clean 15 where like you know, and the Dirty Dozen where like there's certain things that you don't have to buy organic. Like you don't have to buy organic avocados or organic
bananas.
Bananas you should.
Are those getting now? Okay.
Yeah, well, bananas you should.
Okay. I was like the peel, but I don't know if it changes. It changes. Right? Because of our quality of air and soil and all that.
Totally.
But and so bananas are no
yeah,
right now.
They're
so
dirty. Good.
Yeah.
But
avocado.
Avocado.
Which is great for you.
Cabbage, I think you can buy conventional. You know, the obvious ones are things like
oranges,
berries and you know, that you definitely, those are heavily sprayed. Apples for sure. Like I'm kind of a snob about
exposed.
Those. Yeah, for sure. And then you can just always look online. It always has that information, like the latest Dirty Dozen, Clean 15. And it always updates the list every year. Blueberries for sure.
Right.
Things like that. I think I already
Which
said berries.
Which are so good for you.
So good for
and
you.
And you don't want to miss those, but you don't want to get them totally
right
toxified.
So that stuff can add up. I mean, because berries aren't cheap, but if you're gonna buy them, it's like, do you want to pay now or do you want to pay later?
Right.
You know,
and you're getting quality going into your body. And I heard there was a theory like if you're putting more quality into your system, you're not going to want as much. You're not going to like eat maybe like a huge quantity, like a bag of potato chips. If
it's
you're
empty calories,
right. You're going to, you know, kind of get filled up on this good quality stuff.
Exactly. Good point. Good point.
What is your favorite vegan dish? And I'm sure you have a ton. And it
to
changes,
make or
but,
to go get or
oh,
to
let's say to make and to taste, like one that you enjoy eating.
Oh,
maybe
God.
That you don't even make, but that's just like a favorite of yours.
I think like if I'm
because it doesn't have to be boring, and I think people think it has to be boring.
Right.
You've been one for so long; it's probably like you're adventurous within it. But I think
I try
like,
to be.
I think like when you're becoming new to vegetarian or vegan, it's like how can I still keep it good without just pouring a bunch of salt on it?
Right.
Or something? Is that possible?
I think. I'm trying to think. So
sauces are probably a good thing. What kind of sauces
thing?
Do you like? And what's in them?
I love a good like cashew Alfredo. You
so
know?
Cashew based.
Cashew based.
So
cashews
you would cream
are great
those
for
up.
Everything. Like anything creamy.
I love the nuts, but I haven't really thought of...
You soak them first.
Okay.
So they become nice and soft. And then you can add...
Grind them.
You know,
put
grind
them
up.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Favorite. I'm trying to think of like a good meal that I had recently. Like I went to Little Pine recently, which is Moby's restaurant here in our here in Silver Lake, and it's
How
great.
How is it? Okay.
So good. And he had
because he's famous for being vegan.
He's famous for being vegan and an amazing advocate for animals, and all his proceeds go towards animal efforts.
Yes.
And then of course he's a fabulous musician. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got a great gnocchi on his menu. So I like something naughty like that, like a gnocchi that's going to, you know, And then to make, I don't know, I like making enchiladas because my husband enjoys them. And
nice. And that's like a good, like, hearty dinner meal. And what would you use to supplement as what would, let's say it was a chicken enchilada?
I've been doing a lot of like jackfruit and beans, so it kind of has that like carnitas kind of
that sounds so
texture.
Yummy and
yeah
cool.
Come over for dinner.
I will. Thank you.
With vegan cheese and so you've got the beans in there for your protein, because jackfruit, unfortunately, like it's great and the texture of it's
That's
so fun
interesting.
But it doesn't really have like a ton of like it has fiber and all that, but as
I
far as like protein,
I don't know if I would know what to do with a jackfruit in that way. So that's amazing, right there.
Well, Trader's has it canned, which is great, because if you got a whole jackfruit, you'd be like,
what?
Like,
yeah,
it's a huge fruit. First of all, second of all, like just get it canned because it's easy, and you just, you know,
so it's already
heat
in the
it
can.
Up. Yeah, it's
and then you have your
up.
Beans, pinto, black, whatever you want to use.
Whatever you want to use. Yeah, some corn tortillas, so it's gluten-free also. And yeah, that's like one of my favorite things to make, because I enjoy
awesome.
That kind of food with some you vegan should... sour cream and some,
And what do they make? What would their sour cream maybe be? Soy or edamame-based
or
something? Okay.
Soy or coconut or something, but the tofu-y one's pretty good, and that's soy-based. So yeah, a little dollop of that.
You'll have to make a cookbook.
We'll see.
Why do you think, does veganism change the world? Is it a positive thing
I think
for the
so.
World?
I think
and
so.
And why?
Wow. Well,
that's a big question, I know, but
it is, but on so many levels, like I think it, like when I'm talking to people about it, I try to not be one of those like preachy vegans. That's like,
sure. You know, we've all met the
preachy vegan. Yeah. Which, okay.
We're like, there's only one way to be, and this is it. And yes.
And the world has a place for them because they need,
God love them.
People and need to hear it. And there's people that receive those messages. I'm not like going to post pictures of like animals and slaughter. Like I believe people need to see that stuff, but I also
to open eyes and
I like a gentle approach into, and living by example. That's sort of my way. So as far as it changing the world, when I talk to people about it, I talk about the impact on an environmental level first, because there's no denying that commercial farming is what's like depleting our water and using up so much of, you know, other resources. And we grow all this corn and wheat and it's going into animal feed and it's just awful for the environment. It's not sustainable. They're cutting down all these rainforests to make way for cattle. So on that level alone, I think that going plant-based is sort of the way to restoring our planet. As far as, and then of course the, just as far as the animal, like, you know, the waste products and everything when they are put to slaughter, it's just, you know.
And kind of manufactured like just in herds, like just like they are manufactured for that use and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that I think
the hunting days are over.
Exactly. Well, and some people still do. And like, and that's a whole other topic because that's, you know, that's killing one animal and it's feeding your family for a year or whatever. It's not like mass murdering animals and
so producing to be
So I think a lot of people are tuning into what's going on with our planet, and like that's the number one, I think, choice that can help. You know, don't take long showers. I think it's all BS. It's like, just go vegan. That's like the best way to save water.
Right. And what do you think about, like you said earlier, taking it a step further, like furless fur coats?
A lot of these
things like that, leather, shoes, stuff.
I think I just read, I think Gucci and someone else, like, they don't use animal products anymore, or they have a line of
vegans. We don't need
vegans.
To.
Well, no, because
the
synthetic stuff, looks just
exactly.
As, especially if you got, like, Gucci making it, like, they kind of know what they're doing, right?
Yeah, fake, yeah.
All good. Like, there's so many brands out there that really know how to, like, make the stuff look good. I mean, leather looks nice, but, like, at what cost, you know?
Right, and that's what I look at, too. What's happening to get it there?
Right.
And you want that.
Yeah, on your conscience and all that. Anyway.
So you've been really busy. Tell us about this thing called Yo Massage.
Yo Massage.
It sounds so cool.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard about it until you. So tell us about it.
Sure. So Yo Massage is a new modality that combines mostly massage and restorative stretch and meditation. So it's an intimate 5-person class. If I'm teaching it by myself, they have a supporter role, which if I had someone supporting me, I could host up to 10 people, because the supporter role just goes around and does like light touch and sort of facilitates, you know, make sure everyone has props and this and that. So basically it's like restorative, kind of like restorative yoga, where you're using like all the props, like bolsters and blocks.
I love restorative yoga.
So yummy,
and
right?
Yeah, that's like my favorite these days.
So good.
I know.
So all the props, you're in a restorative stretch position, and then I'm coming around and doing hands-on body work during the pose, during the position. So in every position, there's usually about 5 to 8 in a 75-minute class or so. So you're really getting a chance to open up the body with the stretch. Because while you're in the stretch, someone else is getting hands-on body work. And so everyone gets the same amount of body work in every pose. And
nice.
Yeah, it's just really yummy. And
I think back to, you know, whenever I'm a yoga student in a class, I always love the adjustments.
Yes.
Don't we all?
Yes.
And I'm always like, come back over here.
And they never do.
And they never do. And you're like, okay, in the next few rounds, then come over here. And then, you know, you're looking at a class full of 50 and you're like, they're not going to come over here again. Yeah,
no,
that was it. I got my one. If you even get a one.
Totally. If you get touched once, it's like, oh my God.
So
and it's
are
great.
You doing that like over and over again to everyone in your class? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So you're, and it's
how awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so everyone's getting massage in every pose. And again, it's a 5-person class, so you're getting a lot of hands-on. So I'm teaching at 3 different studios here in LA, sort of. One is like a regular monthly gig at Yoga Raj in Santa
Monica. Okay.
Yoga Raj in Santa Monica. Yogala Studios in Echo Park. It's shaping up to be kind of like once a month there. And then I'm at Siesta Yoga on Western in the heart of Los Angeles, weekly Fridays, from 12:30 to 1:45. So that's like a nice way to start your weekend. And then I'm actually looking into doing this in more places. Like, I'd like to get more into like the mental health facilities or like,
that's
addiction
awesome.
Kind of centers, and offer this stuff for people that really need this type of work and need the, like, can get the touch in a safe space.
Yes.
You know, so anyone yes. that's like dealt with trauma, I just did a trauma-informed bodywork certification through Yoga Massage. So
if there's any rehabs listening in the LA area, get in contact with you, because that would be a godsend.
Yeah. I'd love to offer that.
Yeah. When you're going through hard times, addiction or anxiety, you know, any kind of those major stress trauma, like you just said,
right.
How lovely, and how much is that going to actually not just feel good, but like change
heal
your soul
someone.
And heal
yeah.
you and actually help yeah. so much.
And give them the power to heal. So like you're right. facilitating this healing in a safe space, and you're teaching people about breath work. Cause a lot of the times with trauma, like wouldn't focus so much on the hands-on body work, but like guiding them through breath work is really important, and giving them those tools to really like, you know, get grounded.
Right. Even just how to go back to breathing and
right.
being able to breathe correctly.
Correct.
Tools. You're giving them tools
yeah.
so they can help themselves
yeah.
when you're not there too.
Yeah.
Just another tool to get through. What are some of the benefits your clients have talked about? What are some of the benefits you've received doing it yourself when you were a student as well in training? What did you notice that got you really into it? Because I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah, it's before. A newer modality.
Yeah.
It's great. I think that the idea of being able to offer body work to more than just one person at a time was really appealing to me. And, you know, it saves your body. You're not working
oh
on
my
like
gosh.
Five
yeah.
people in 5 hours. You're
totally.
Working on five people in 75 minutes. So it's like this group setting. And it's not just massage. It's like you're doing the you know, the restorative stretch part and the breath work. So it's really, and also, you know, you're focusing on light to medium touch. So it's not like you're doing deep tissue work all day, which is like we know as
oh,
therapists.
God.
Like,
yeah.
It's just going to kill our bodies. So
totally,
you know, and if you, you know, with the deep touch, people seem to like it, but it actually facilitates like, you know, it doesn't facilitate the healing response in the body.
Yes. And I think it's good for that like moment and to kind of break things up. But then I always say it just kind of brings more stuff up in a way. I call it like, it's the higher energetic massage mm-hmm. versus like a Swedish, which is just like relaxing. This one kind of brings up this intensity where you feel kind of maybe not so good for the next day or two, because there's a lot of stuff that comes up with that.
For sure. And also when you're receiving it, if the pain receptors are stimulated in the body, then you can't really facilitate healing. So the light to medium touch is really key, because, you know, and its studies have shown that 15 minutes of touch a day can severely reduce anxiety and depression. So imagine what like 75 minutes you're getting, you know, you're getting a lot of, you're not getting 75 minutes of touch,
and
but you're getting,
can you believe we're that deprived of touch as a culture and society?
Yeah.
Like that we actually study this and realize like we are not getting this, like, you know, just like gentle
basic touch.
Yeah, touch of, you know, handhold, stroke, hug, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so these, I'm sure your classes are full and packed because we all need it. And it's so
really
healthy.
Important.
And I like the fact that you have more than like that people are vulnerable in front of other people, even though
yeah.
everyone's in their own world
yeah.
there. They're like willing to kind of, I think that's like another element of the healthy part of that.
Yeah, I think so too. Where like you're just in this sort of community
yeah, that's
vibe.
Safe.
Yeah,
you're getting another kind of safe environment
yeah.
For yourself, which is always so replenishing to
yeah.
to be in and to see that. And
yeah.
it's kind of another way of kind of helping your self-esteem and not feeling alone and just
right.
you know.
Well, it's like yoga when you come to your mat in a group setting. that's why I enjoy group classes, because you have that collective energy.
As much as I fight it sometimes at first, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get in my car and drive there and have to find a parking spot and then la-di-da-di-da-da. And, right. But then I'm there and I'm like, oh my gosh, the dude so next happy. To me, we can do this.
Right. And you hear them breathe and you remember to breathe. And right. You know, or you remind them to breathe because you're breathing. And it's like really
why great. Do these emotions, you're also certified in yoga. You're a certified instructor.
Yes.
Why do these emotions come up in yoga specifically that can, like, we weep sometimes at the end or cry, or is that just me?
It's not just you. Okay. It happens but to what? Most of us.
And is that, what is that about?
I think
it can come up in massage work too. Totally. I mean, it's happened with me many times where the client has just poured out. And yeah.
I think so. More so you'd have that that emotional release experience in massage because you're directly touching these parts of the body.
Right.
But if you're doing, you know, they always say like the hips are like the junk drawer of the body. So like if you're doing hip openers and stuff and yoga stuff and can come up, whether it's like good or bad, or I mean, I don't want to say good or bad. That's not really a proper label, but like whether it's like laughing or crying, whatever it is,
excitable things or, you know, a bad memory.
Right. So I think, you know, yoga has the power to do that just as much as body work does. So especially if you're in like a restorative or yin type class, because you're holding these poses from anywhere, like in a proper restorative or yin class, it's like 5 to 20 minutes. So if you're in a hip opener for 10 minutes on each side, like that's some time to really sink in there and let some stuff come up. And it's so good though, because we hold all these emotions in the body. And if we're not giving them a chance to like come out and deal with them, then that can manifest into dis-ease in the body, you know, which manifests into actual disease, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's powerful stuff.
I had to grow into yin, which as I mentioned, I love now, but I think for that exact reason, it can be so
confronting. Do you do Travis's yin?
I haven't done his actually, I used to go to a lot of his yin classes, and that's what I need to do is again.
He's so good.
Yeah. He is so good. Yeah. And yeah, they were talking about Travis, who is a big yoga teacher in Santa Monica, but does
Travis
yoga.
Elliot.
Yeah.
And Lauren Ekstrom, our loves. Yes. We love them both.
Yes.
Shout out to two amazing yoga teachers.
Two world changers for sure.
Yeah.
And I had them on the show a little while ago, and anyway, definitely.
They're doing the work.
Yes, they are.
Healing the world.
Very much changed my life with their classes as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find that the yoga with the massage has to be such a lovely pairing. And that's, like I said, didn't know it existed. And that's so cool. You found a place for what you wanted to do.
Yeah, and it was neat. I mean, I'm in the yoga therapy program currently through Loyola Marymount, and I found out about the program through that program. So I'm about almost done with that level one program, and it's fascinating to learn about yoga therapy, but this is something that I have experience with more, like with body work, because I've done it for 20 plus years.
Right, which seems impossible, but you did start like way young.
Yeah, I started at 19, so it's been a while. But so I've jumped into yoga massage because it's something that I'm really comfortable doing. I've never taught a yoga class. I'm yoga certified, but I got certified while I was pregnant.
That's right.
So I didn't go into teaching yoga. I went into teaching my kid, you know, like being a mom.
And you're a working mom now.
Yeah,
exactly. Because you are teaching classes and and how is that as far as having a full plate?
Well, my kid just started preschool, as you know.
Yes.
So that's given me a little
mixed
bit more
feeling.
Yeah,
it's like total hooray, like I can have some time to do things, but then also like there they go.
Yeah. And that was like day one. And now that we're like almost a week in, it's like, freedom.
Yeah. And for them too, I think.
It's so good for
them too. They're ready.
Yeah. So I'm sort of waiting to figure out, not waiting. I mean, I'm working on manifesting like will be next for me, because, you know, the classes I'm teaching are typically like nights and weekends, and that's not really what I pictured for myself with my kid going to school. Like, I wanted to kind of work when she's in school.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought maybe getting into like a rehab center or something where I could do classes during the day might be good for me, because, you know, if you're in a yoga studio, it's something they kind of expect to be like a nighttime thing.
After work.
Yeah, which is not necessarily what I really want to be doing so much. So we'll see what's next for me. But I do have, you know, a lot of more free time. So I'm getting back into my own yoga practice. And
isn't that nice too?
Oh my God.
We definitely, I know it's so easy to, or a lot easier to give to other people in so many scenarios and just in our daily life, and then we forget about ourselves. And you just said something so key. Oh, I have some time to maybe give back to me, and I feel like that's when we can give to others like our best too.
Yes.
Because we're feeling like we can breathe and we're okay. So it's like, if I can breathe, then I can help you breathe better.
Yeah,
so
putting on your own oxygen mask first, right?
Yeah,
so
good for you.
Yeah, I finally found like the studio.
Being a mom
that I
is hard.
Yeah,
when you're juggling a lot, it's, you know, and working and taking classes and continuing to enrich yourself and for your children and to help others, it's a full plate.
100%. Mm-hmm. So you're amazing. You do it. Mm-hmm. You're here.
Trying.
Yeah, you're
trying.
And you have two.
That's even
more impressive.
But luckily, the second one has been right. Like, she's just kind of, they say the second one's easier. And I don't know if that's completely true, but I definitely was better prepared.
I'm
I knew
sure.
more. So for me, it's like, okay, I know a little bit of what I would have done differently. I can do that now.
Right.
And what worked and what didn't. So we kind of lucked out there.
Well,
but
you're
it's
amazing.
Still full. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what is your favorite thing right now about teaching yoga massage?
Oh, well, I like that I can make my own hours, and I like that I can, you know, serve up to 5 people at one time. And I really just, you know, with every class, I feel like I'm able to really truly serve people in a very unique way.
Yes.
Sometimes people, I mean, I get a lot of people that think that it's going to be like a regular yoga class. They're like, I've never done yoga, so I can't do this. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is like sleepy time yoga.
And that's something good for people to hear too.
Yeah.
So that may be intimidated, not knowing what this is, but it sounds like something they would like.
Right.
They're afraid to maybe step in the class.
Right. So yeah, no
what
yoga.
What is it like when you walk into a yoga massage room?
So you,
typically.
The main goal of the class.
Teacher Dory is waiting there for you.
Right. I'm waiting there
you.
For
yes.
you. I usually put, you know, rose petals on the floor, and
I know I saw your pictures.
Yeah.
I'm like, this looks like a freaking spa.
I try to make it very like luxurious and just really like
peaceful.
Yeah.
Calming.
Yummy. And you come in and you're just like taken care of. Like, there's nice music playing. It's that you just feel welcomed, and you don't have to do, you don't bring any props. You don't need a yoga mat. You don't,
oh,
you just
nice.
Show up. You show up, you pick out your spot, and you leave. You don't clean up the props.
Do you lay down when you see the mat, or can you, do you sit, lay down?
Most people just kind of take a seat on the mat, and then I kind of guide them into what we're going to do. But seated is great. If you're called to lay down before we start, that's great too. And then when the class is over, you just float on out of there, because you don't have to help clean up. So yeah.
How awesome. Human touch.
Yeah.
Right? How's that old world trade that
I
we all don't get enough of now that we need so badly?
Yeah. It's a dim room. It's really like womb-like, you know, you're just coming into something very relaxing, but also very affordable. So like that
how much
too,
does a does a class cost?
My classes are $55 for a 75-minute class.
That's way less expensive than any massage.
Yeah.
Like if
a
you
good
just,
massage, you know?
Yeah. If you're going to go get like a good massage hour long.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, for tons of hands-on and like a full experience.
Right.
So, I think that's, you know, it's fair. So, yeah.
And do you do it privately?
I'm open to that. Yeah.
If people just want you to come over and just work one-on-one.
Yeah. I'm open to that. I'm open to doing like girls' nights or bachelorette kind of thing or like spa days, like any of that stuff. Yeah. Give me a call.
Nurturing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so nurturing. And so much of it I feel is, you know, we still always want that. Like you and I have babies, so we understand the importance of, you know, physically holding our kids right. and hugging them and making sure they're okay and feel safe. And I feel like we don't ever lose that just because we're getting older and bigger as people, right? I feel like we still always want, even if we're not going to verbalize it, or maybe we don't even consciously, you know, realize it, but we all still want that. And we want to feel safe around other people. And we want to feel that touch and that nurturing.
Yes.
And so I feel like as we get older, unfortunately, that nurturing just slips away somehow. And we need to hold on to it because it's like precious.
Yeah. And, you know, the irony of like technology bringing us all together, yet we're like separate, you know.
Yeah, we don't, we're all in like our little room.
Yeah, we
like,
don't get the touch, we don't get that. So, you know, yo massage is great because you're in a group environment, yet you're having your own experience and you're receiving touch in a safe space because you don't take your clothes off like a traditional table massage or Thai massage. You're fully clothed,
you're wearing comfortable clothes.
Yeah, you're just in a safe space, a safe environment where you hopefully can feel really taken care of.
How great that is too for when you're going through, just to relax, but also if you're going through a hard time in life, like high stress, anxiety. We've talked about trauma and kind of touched on that, but how does it affect trauma in like a positive way?
Again, I think just offering the touch in a safe space with the clothes on is great. And, you know, you can offer that to people who have suffered PTSD or other like sexual abuse or anything like that, where they wouldn't necessarily be comfortable taking off their clothes or closing their eyes or whatever. So, I think that it's really useful for clients with trauma.
Mm-hmm. Another tool they can.
Yeah. And you work on the breath work. So you're guiding them through, you know, grounding techniques with their breath and just really creating like a super safe space for that person that might have suffered something so great. So yeah. And I think that, you know, tons of research shows that the breath work can, you know, diminish stress hormones in the body and all that stuff. So, you know, in a yoga massage class, you're doing that. You're working on the breath, and obviously the touch, you know, puts you into the parasympathetic nervous system. So you're in that relaxation, you know, response in the body. So yeah, all good stuff all around.
And I know we were talking a little bit too, right, leading up to the show, but we had mentioned something that I thought was really cool to share about, because we all have like those days that are kind of crappy or something just happens and it's just like, oh, you're on your last thread, whatever it is. And Dory had brought up a good point about when we see someone who is like, you know, reacting to all that or seeming like they're really angry or stressed out. And I just thought it would be cool if you could share that, what you
shared
with me.
Yeah. So if you know, there was an interview that I watched. It was an interview of Oprah being interviewed.
Okay. Which is pretty interesting because she's always
interviewing people. And she said that she had a life-changing moment when she was speaking with a scientist who basically asked the question, not what's wrong with you. So like if someone does something to you or someone's acting like a jerk or inappropriate and you're like, what's wrong with this person? Instead of asking that, you ask, what happened to you? What happened to you that made you feel like this was the appropriate response for, you know, what happened here or whatever? So just that really kind of takes you in the moment. And she said that that was really profound and life-changing literally for her, like the way she interviewed people, the way she spoke with people on a daily basis. Because, you know, it's really easy to like judge.
Oh, sure.
What a jerk.
Judgment and go there.
What's wrong with that person, you know? Instead of just really like
showing some compassion.
Having a little bit of compassion and like, whoa, what happened to that person? So, yeah, that's a different way to kind of spin it.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm sure all walks of life will walk into your room and that difference you must make on them, you know, by the time they walk out, the transition, the transformation. Some may come in already on cloud nine and everything as well, which is great. And other people are seeking a way to feel better and wanting to, you know, they do feel on that other end of the spectrum. And I commend people so much for showing so much bravery just to walk in that room when they're having like a really bad day mm-hmm. or a really bad time. Mm-hmm. And how cool is that you're able to help them transition so they leave that room feeling completely different.
I hope that they right. do. Yeah. I hope they do. That's my goal. But it's, you know, it's about,
you are a super talented body worker, healer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dietitian, everything.
Thank you. But as we spoke before the show as well, it's about facilitating their individual healing, powers, you know, so you're facilitating that space for them to be their own healer because you're not the healer. Like, it's not like, oh, you've done, you know, you have healed me. It's like right. they've healed themselves. They've done the breath work. They've relaxed into the position or pose and they have given themselves up and given themselves the time to be there. So like they're really doing all the work. You're just kind
spoken
of
like a truly
guide.
Humble person. Yes. Well,
you're just the guide. So yeah. I'll never like say I'm that person because everyone has the power within themselves to be their own healer. And, you know, that's why we were talking a little bit about meditation, how important that is.
And I was just going to segue into that and ask, how does meditation play into your classes?
We always start with breath work.
Okay.
And it's always, you know, sort of like the crux of the class because
it's our mind. So right. much of it's our mind, right? right?
And you're asking people, you're reminding people to come back to their breath if they've drifted in between the different positions. So, you know, remember to focus on your breath because it is easy. You drift off and thoughts pass by and it's not like the goal of meditation is to like quiet the mind because you're always going to have thoughts. You're human.
Yes.
It's just to bring it back to the breath and, you know,
not let it go crazy.
Yeah.
Out of control.
That chitta vritti, that monkey mind that we all have. It's like, mm-hmm. it can take over. So it's just about like, you know, controlling the breath with the mind, which is pretty cool. Like we have the power to control our breath with our mind, which is,
it is awesome.
That's
yeah.
A
it's
awesome
one of the
superpower,
amazing tools
right?
we could ever have. Yes.
Yeah. There's not a lot of other bodily functions we can control our bodily system, you know, things that are going on that we have control over, but we can 100% facilitate the breath and make it work for us. And when we do, and we step into that, we can really like access, some superpowers of healing in the body.
When there's pain in certain spots, does it help to breathe into those areas and kind of work in those areas?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, even like you as a body worker, when you get those spots and you just, okay, take a deep breath. But again, mm-hmm. it's not about the deep work. It's about, you know, but deep yeah. is relative, right?
Yes.
So one person could say, oh, this is really hard, and others could, you know.
I feel like meditation is so challenging for so many, and because it's sounds simple, but just breathe and just focus on your breath. I mean, it sounds like the most simple thing in the world. We do it naturally as babies. And then as we grow and life and all this stuff, our breath changes and it shortens and it's shallow and it's deep and it just depending on where we're at in life. But it is so cool we can control it. And what would you say to the person who is curious about meditation but is afraid to try it? Because it just seems so, well, a lot of people think too, like, you know, kind of hoopla-y yeah. or, you know, hippy-dippy. Does it really do all that? Is it all that in a bag of chips?
Well, the cool thing about meditation is that there's so much science behind it now. There are a ton of studies out there that link it to stress reduction, anxiety reduction, depression, everything. So science backs meditation, and that's pretty cool. So there's Harvard studies on it and, you know, all that. So look that up if you're curious. But
definitely,
I would say that my recommendation when it comes to meditation is that it's about the consistency. It's not about like having the special pillow and the place and like just one breath.
All
like
the
even
fluff.
If it's just like taking one breath and you start, literally, I tell people to start with 1 minute and then work your way up to 3 and then work your way up to 5 and then maybe 10 and maybe 30. And maybe that takes you a year and a half, but you're just, it's about doing something every day. Just like with any habit, you have to be consistent, and meditation is no different. So I like the Insight Timer app because it keeps you accountable, and there's other meditation apps out there. That's the one that I use.
It's called Insight.
Insight.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah.
And they've got guided meditation. They've got just a timer app. They've got music. They've got everything. So whatever works for you, you know, there's really no wrong way to meditate. It's just about you calming the mind and honing in on that breath and just like, just slowing down, you know? So again, mm-hmm. it's just, even if it's just one breath, one time a day for a minute, that's meditation. You know, you meditate in the car if you're, well, you know, if you're careful.
Right. You just have a moment to say, I'm going to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have such a great voice.
Oh, thanks.
To like meditate to and to like listen to in class. It's like very soothing.
Thank you.
So where can we find you again one more time if we want to take your yoga massage classes now? We wanted to call and book a class.
Yeah. So all the bookings are done through me. I don't have a schedule online.
Okay.
Just because I'm not like an official teacher at these studios, except for, sure. Let's just keep it simple. All the registration goes through me. So
good.
So Siesta Yoga in LA, and these all have websites so you can look them up. So Siesta Perfect. Yoga, on Western, Yogala Studios on Echo Park Boulevard, and Yoga Raj off Barrington and Olympic in Santa Monica. And then to take the class, you would just contact me directly. So either via text or email. And email is healingthroughfood, healingthroughfood at gmail.com. And then the Healing Through Food is also where you can find my nutrition services as well, because I still do
your
nutrition.
Website.
Yeah, my website is healingthroughfood.com. So yeah, that's the best way to.
And then for any kind of like bridal shower parties or would be so cool.
Be so
that would be just really fun, or a girls' night, or just like to have it incorporated in.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
With a cooking lesson on like raw chocolate or something.
Oh my gosh.
Just cater it to you. So yeah, I like offering all my services at once.
That is so awesome and so yummy. And if you're a medical facility or rehab facility, contact Dori.
Or also, corporate, like I'm open to doing corporate.
Or corporate, yeah. Yes. Do you know how many people would like just jump at that thought to maybe get a break for an hour in the middle of the day at lunch?
Small companies, because I can't facilitate like 80 people in
could
one
you
class.
What about the time? What if they don't have like 75 minutes, but it was like a special thing? Could you try to do like a 45-minute session?
I mean, shortest would probably be like 60 minutes, but
you need time.
Yeah, 60 is probably good, because again, you want to stimulate that healing response in the body, and like speeding it up is kind of like not really
counter.
Anyway, so yeah.
But how cool?
Yeah.
Just to take a break.
I know.
At the end of the day,
everyone
middle of the day.
It. Everyone
we
deserves
so
it.
Need it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you
this
for
has
having
been awesome.
Me. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you.
Thank you. We can be heroes forever and ever.